the slide up on the screen that says, here I am. I'm available. If you guys could find that slide for me. I think it's the previous slide or two, if you could put that up for me. It just is two lines. It just says, I hear your call, I am available. That's the one I'm looking for. I hear your call, I am available. There it is. Church, I just want you to look at that for a second. Right in between those two lines, there's a word that's not there. And the word is agreement. The word is agreement. Because you could hear a call, but till you agree, you're not going to be available. So the word agreement is extremely powerful. We're going to talk about that tonight. Because tonight we're going to make agreement a habit. There's going to be agreement in the house tonight. I hear you call the Lord, but I'm not in agreement. Because I don't want to go there. I don't want to go here. I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to go out of state. I don't want to change jobs. I don't want to. I don't want to do any. I don't want to. Before we get to the I'm available, you got to agree, don't you? God does not force himself on anyone. The prophet said, here I am, Lord, send me. The very cry out that says, here I am, send me, means I am in agreement. I'm going to go. I don't know where it's going to be, and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm still going to go. That's agreement and alignment with heaven. That's what we're teaching. You're going to need to know agreement, and then in the weeks to come, you're going to need to know the word availability. Because on the last night, we study our divine increase habits. You're going to need to be available. And this is just setting you up to agree to be available. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Father God, I agree. Here I am. I am available. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I agree, Lord. Sometimes I don't know what that even looks like, but Lord God, I agree because I know that that aligns me with your will, and that's good enough for me. Father God, for those that you're tapping on the shoulder on a Wednesday night at Cross Point Church, both on site and online, Lord God, I pray that they say, I agree. It's time. I agree. Father God, the things that you're speaking to us here at this church, Lord God, I agree. Lord, send me. I agree. Father God, I pray that you continue to pour out that power, Lord God, of agreement in this church. Because I know, Lord God, where there is agreement, there is power. Give us agreement tonight, Lord. Make us available. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hallelujah. Church, grab somebody next to you and say these words. I'm so glad I showed up tonight. I am so glad I'm here. Thank you. I am so glad I'm here, and I'm so glad that Pastor Greaves carries this podium out too. Every single time I preach. Thank you, Pastor. Oh, take a deep breath, right? Like I said last week, folks, you made it through halfway through the week. You only have a few more days to go. Would you do me a favor and show your appreciation to our worship team tonight? Thank you. You know, a while back when I reached out to the church, when we were on our sabbatical the first quarter of this year, and I was sending a message, and I said, well, here's what God's laying on my heart. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do the series, and it's going to be on Sunday mornings or Wednesday night. Could I have the worship team commit to 6 weeks on a Wednesday night? And look, every single one of them is here except for the pastor, my wife, right? Now, I know she's not watching because she's in Cincinnati, and she sent me a message here just right before we started here at 6 o'clock, and she said, I am so tired. She doesn't feel well. So she traveled for quite a distance. She drove today, and she has been kind of under the weather, and she went for her secular job, her first job, second job, whatever you want to call it. And she said, I am praying for you guys tonight. She says, Pastor, I'm in agreement with you. That's what we're talking about tonight, right? And she said, let everybody know that I'm praying for you. So I am sending her regards to you. So she will be back Sunday. She'll be back tomorrow night late. You know, it's when she goes out of town like this, I have to either pick her up at the airport or stay up really late when she drives home because I don't want her driving into the garage when it's late. So I'll stay up. And I don't let her travel without me picking her up or dropping. I drop her off and pick her up at the airport and whatnot. Most of the time it's in Cleveland. A couple weeks ago it was 1 o'clock in the morning. So that was a little bit late or early. But I don't like her doing that, so I'm always there. So continue to pray for her. So thank you, worship team. Church, we're in this series called Positioned for More, right? Aligning yourself with heaven, right? When your alignment meets God's increase. It's not God waiting on him. He's not waiting. You know, he's waiting on us. Just that's what the series, the core of it, is all about, right? It's positioned for more when our alignment meets God's increase. It's not how God moves. It's how God wants you to become the person to move through, right? That's what the series is all about. I've taught you that divine increase means God's presence in us and his work through us. And this Wednesday night is our fourth Wednesday night that we're talking about practical habits. Now, I had some people come up to me this past week, just early in the week, and even tonight, saying to me, Pastor, are you going to teach on, and they started to list them, and I've had many people. Are you going to talk about forgiveness, a habit of, are you going to talk about giving and generosity and things like that? I said, no, not. Well, why? Well, church, there's a lot of things that we could have good habits in, right? But God laid on my heart six specific ones, and those are the ones I'm keying on, right? So we're doing these in the next 3 weeks, counting tonight, and then two more weeks. You want to definitely, of course, be here for all of them, but the last one, you'll certainly want to be available. So just like I mentioned, the first week was the habit of prayer. Prayer becomes more powerful when it becomes intentional. Habit, right? I taught you the paper and the pen. We wrote down the, God, where do you want to see an increase in my life? And somebody just told me tonight, God wanted me to have an increase in trust. Wow. I said, continue to pray about that, right? Second week, habit of God's word. The two foundational habits we certainly had to touch on. You don't live based on what you know. You lived on based on what you believe. And you won't believe it unless you read it, right? It's the Bible versus human opinion. I gave you the rally sheet. Remember, we had a sheet that said rally, and I told you what to do, and I asked you to do that, pray over that, and study it. This is how you do it. And we talked about that. Read, ask, listen, live, and yield. You know, it's in the Church Center app, and it's also at the VIP Center if you need the papers for each week. If you want paper, if you're in the paper, they're out there at the VIP Center. You can get any week you want. You can go to the Church Center app and get any week you want. Also on the Church Center app, under the devotional tab off the main menu. Last week, we talked about the habit of hunger. Whatever we consistently feed shapes our appetite. The more you feed it, the hungrier you get for it. So what you're putting in there is what you're going to want more of, right? We talked about that. We wanted a habit of hunger, and then I gave you the pass-out sheet called Appetite Audit. What are you hungry for? Those were the first 3 weeks. We're moving now into week number four, the habit of agreement. Where there is agreement, there is power. The Bible, folks, is just full of agreement. There's so much about agreement in God's word. Unity, coming together, one accord, so much that, you know, I could preach a series of 8 weeks on just that. But tonight is the practicality of agreement as a habit. And I want to talk and teach you a little bit about that tonight. So remember, a habit is a behavior pattern developed by frequent repetition. That's what a habit is. Unfortunately, we really struggle to make agreement a habit. There's a struggle there to make agreement. And you're going to hear about that tonight. Why is that? Because we are programmed or conditioned to be right before we agree. I'm going to be right. It's more about being right than agreeing. And there's kind of a struggle. It creates alignment, unity, movement, authority, spiritual power if you're in agreement. Now, right away, you're sitting here thinking or watching online, you're thinking you don't always agree with everybody. Now, I'm going to teach you tonight that it's probably not what you think. Agreement doesn't necessarily mean 100% in agreement, like you think. Like, I have to agree with all these things. You're going to see something here tonight, I pray, that you're going to say, wow, I didn't ever see it like that. I'll do the best I can to convey it. In the Bible, when people came into agreement with God and one another, something really powerful happened. All through God's word. That's why I say where there's agreement, there's power. God moves in agreement. Alignment, agreement, right? And let me try to explain a little bit. Now, I'm not musical at all. You know that by now, right? Thank you, Pastor Christine and our worship team. I am just not musical. Now, I love music, but I don't play an instrument. I can't sing. Who said amen? Did I just hear that? Did somebody say that, right? It's true, though. I'm in agreement with you. But listen, the word agree in the Greek means, that's where you get agreement, agree. It means a symphony. It means a symphony. Okay? It's a symphony. So that, right away, I think, of course, music, right? And you got to stop and think, what's a symphony? It's a bunch of instruments all playing at the same time and sounding great. Or five or six instruments on a worship team all playing together and sounding great. But a symphony is like, what, 100 instruments or something like that, right? It's music and it sounds wonderful. You know they're not in agreement when they sound really bad, right? Can we agree on that, right? Okay. So then in music, there's this word that I have struggled for years and years and years, and I'm married to one that just loves music. And she tries to explain it to me, and I think I'm getting it. The word is harmony. Now, if I asked Pastor Christine to come up and explain harmony, she's like that, and most of the worship team, especially the singers, my wife, they could just come up and tell you exactly what harmony is. Harmony is different notes wrapped around the melody. Am I close? Thanks for coming tonight, folks. It's the best I got, right? The melody is the part of the song that you hum and remember. But the harmony is what the singers do. One sings a different level of notes, right? Higher or lower. Another one sings higher or lower. Another one sings. They're not singing the exact same level, right? They sing different levels of notes, and it all sounds awesome as long as they're singing in tune. I just lost all of you, right? Becca's down here shaking her head like she knows what she's talking about. Like she's just, right? Or I know what I'm talking about. I'm doing the best I can. And so a symphony then puts together and makes all that music agree. And it sounds great. Now, if someone sings out of tune or they're not singing harmony, it sounds bad. Pastor Christine, she continues to shake her head and give me the thumbs up, right? It's not all the same monotone level. That's why it sounds good. Now, you musicians know exactly what I'm talking about. The other ones are probably struggling a little bit, just like I am right now. My wife will go back and watch this you know, watch the tape of this, and she'll say, wow, you got pretty close, right? You got it. Did Pastor Christine help you? Yes, right? So let me give you an example of that analogy of music when it comes to prayer. So on the day of Pentecost, remember the day, the Bible says they were all in one accord. They all got together because Jesus told them to go into the city, get together, and pray for the promise of the Father, which we know is the Holy Spirit, right? The outpouring. So they get together, and they start to pray. Now, if you know Scripture, Jesus ascends, and he's gone, and they start to do this, and I'm calling that a symphony of prayer. Why? Because the Bible says they were in one accord. They were devoted to do it, okay? They continued the process, repetition, habit of prayer, okay? So they're doing this, and it makes you feel like it's nonstop, does it not? And so they're praying for the thing that Jesus said is coming from heaven, and they prayed for 10 days, right? So think about this. They're continuing to pray, repetition of prayer, devoted to do it, the Bible says, in one accord, focused. They're going to get it. Now, the question the Bible does not answer is, did they all, 120 of them, which is the disciples, Mary, and many others, did they, it's a day of Pentecost, it's a festival, so people were coming into town, right? So all these people praying, they weren't praying 24 hours a day, 10 days in a row, were they? Could they? Probably not. I bet you some of them were praying this time, and then they went to bed, got up, and prayed more. They had all these people doing it, and they're all praying. Now, they're not praying in tongues. As good Pentecostal people we are, we believe Acts chapter 2, the outpouring was the evidence that God showed up was people started speaking in an unknown language. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the giftings of the Spirit, right? Well, God hadn't poured out his Spirit yet. So they're praying hard. But I highly doubt they prayed for 10 days solid, 24 hours a day without sleeping. So what that tells me is they're in a symphony of prayer. There are 120 of them, and they're all in this room, the upper room, Bible says, and they're all praying. Some are sleeping, some are praying, some are, you know, but the prayer continued and never ceased. They're praying. So all 120 of them are involved in the prayer meeting habit of prayer. And they're all in agreement, even though not all 120 of them probably were praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But the prayer never stopped. There is a symphony, a harmony of prayer going on that day. And God was in agreement with that. And how do I know that? Because God poured out his power on them, the Bible says. They were aligned with heaven with the expectation of something showing up if they continued in a habit of prayer. The Holy Spirit started to move. They were in agreement, even though they probably couldn't stay up 24 hours a day for 10 solid days, because it was 10 days after Jesus left until the power of the Holy Spirit fell on them. The prayer meeting didn't stop. Robin, how about that, right? 10-day prayer meeting, right? A symphony of prayer. There was agreement there in that room, is what I'm trying to get to. And the power showed up because they agreed to pray. Now, you know, folks, that not everybody prays the same, right? You got guy over here praying this way, you got a lady over here praying this way, you got some kids over here praying this way, whatever the case may be. They're a whole big prayer meeting, and they're all sounding different. But the harmony of the prayer was in agreement with heaven because God showed up on the 10th day. Keep that in the back of your mind as we move on. They were in agreement to do this. They had momentum. And one thing that would stop that momentum would be division. If somebody were to stood up and said, I don't like what we're doing, I don't like this, stop the momentum. right? It was the agreement that released the power that day. The 120 of them in the room agreed. They were going to do it, and they didn't stop doing it. What were they doing? A habit, an intentional habit of praying and waiting for what was coming. The enemy understood that. The enemy understands the concept that I'm teaching tonight. That's why the enemy constantly attacks agreement. The enemy attacks unity, relationships, your perspectives, your positions, your words. The enemy goes after agreement. Why? Because the enemy understands there was agreement in the upper room in prayer, a habit of prayer, that launched the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Go read it in Acts chapter 2. So what does the enemy do? Attacks agreement. In your marriage, in a church, at your job, where there needs to be agreement, you'll find an attack against it. But if there's a habit of agreement, the enemy just struggles to penetrate a habit. It's harder for the enemy to attack the habit because you have decided to be intentional about it. And you're going to watch this develop for you tonight, folks. See, what we consistently agree with eventually shapes the direction of our lives. What you agree with, right? If you don't agree with something, you ain't doing it. Bad English, good preaching, right? You're not going to do it. Tell me that's not true. How many have kids? Yeah, you know that's true, right? Right? And let me tell you, it doesn't get any easier when they get older. We got four adult kids and we ain't in agreement, right? Do I get an amen on that, right? But in the Bible, there's three areas that I see that agreement shows up. It shows up with God, aligning with God, right? It shows up with agreeing with yourself, and it shows up agreeing with others. Man, we're going to step on toes tonight, right? So let's talk about the three biblical areas of agreement. The first one is agreement with God. That's the alignment. We've been teaching this for weeks. That's the alignment. I agree. See, you don't have to agree. But then there's not going to be the power that God wants to give you in the increase if you don't agree. Okay? You still can say no. Our whole study for the last several weeks, and a few more weeks, is about positioning your alignment in agreement with heaven. So let's look at Amos 3:3. We don't use these scriptures too much, but boy, I thought they just really jumped out at me. Amos, now let me set this up, a prophet in the Old Testament, right? A herdsman, like a farmer, right? Israel split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern Judah kingdom, right? This is the time period. Uh-oh, let me test my memory. 8 centuries before Jesus, okay? 8 centuries, roughly, before Jesus. I'm old, but I don't think I'm that old. He says it like this. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Now, Amos is from the southern kingdom of Judah, and God sends him to the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom is having some trouble. On the outside, everything looked pretty good. Their economy, things are booming, politically booming. It just looks really, really good. But on the inside of God's people, there's some injustice, and they're starting to move towards idolatry. Okay, just high level, give me an idea of what's going on here. Like, that's never going to happen here in our United States, right? That doesn't happen here, but it happened back then. So God says, I'm going to send this herdsman up to the northern kingdom of Israel to speak to them. Because their internal and external didn't agree. And it's getting worse. So he sends them up there and he says, listen, can two, and he uses the analogy of walking, right? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? That he's talking about, can two walk and go the same direction, physically walk, unless they agree? Of course not. Does your inside agree with your outside? Think about it. That's what he's talking about. Because walking with God requires agreement. Walking with God requires agreement. Watch what happens, though. You have to agree with his word, right? You got to. You have to agree with his truth in his word. You have to agree with his ways and his perspective to be in alignment with heaven. Can you disagree? You can, but then you would not be in agreement with heaven. Pastor, where do I learn all this stuff? In the Bible, in his word. He's already told us. So if you're looking at things in God's word, which we covered in week 2, right? If you're finding something in there that you don't agree with, you're not in agreement. Why? Because that's the truth, which you're going to learn something here. I hope a few things tonight. So he's going up to the door of the kingdom, and he's really not anybody, but God's going to use him. You know, God uses the nobodies all the time, right? God's really good at that. Many believers want God's blessing without surrendering to God's principles. They don't agree with some things. And the things we don't agree with is the tough things, normally, that God wants us to do. See, you can say, send me. But really, a lot of times, we're saying, tell me where you want to send me before I really agree to go. Before there's a symphony in my life, before there's harmony out of my mouth, let me know where I have to go before I go. That might not be the agreement God's looking for, right? So agreement means, Lord, I align myself with what you say, even though it may challenge me. See, agreement requires trust, surrender, obedience, renewed thinking. Now, we use Romans 12:2 a lot because it's just like one of my favorites. It speaks so well. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's your thinking aligns with heaven's perspective, God's word. There's agreement, right? There's agreement. You have to agree with God. You've got to have alignment with heaven to have agreement, right? You follow so far? Okay. Now you have to have agreement with you. See, we have agreement with heaven. We have agreement with us, ourselves, and agreement with others. Okay? There's power in agreement with heaven, ourselves, and others. Jesus was in alignment with heaven, right? Jesus was in alignment with others. We taught that. In favor with God, favor with man. Credibility, right? Well, Pastor, you forgot ourselves. Well, I don't know if Jesus had to be in agreement with himself when he is God, right? Think about that. That's probably getting too deep theologically for tonight. So you've got to be in agreement with God. That's your alignment. And then the second thing is you got to be in agreement with you. James 1:8 says, their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they were unstable in everything they do. This is the double-minded scripture, right? He's writing to the scattered Jewish population that's gone throughout the land, persecuted, trials, pressures, they're hurting, just like we are today. And in some countries, it's a whole lot worse than here. It's a whole lot worse in most other countries than here. And he's trying to bring their focus back to their faith, wisdom, and endurance. Hang in there. Be in agreement. He gets to verse 8, and he warns you and I, the Jewish population back then, and us today, when he says, loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. That means there's no agreement. Therefore, there's no power showing up. You need agreement before the power shows up. You need agreement before the increase shows up. Okay? One of the greatest enemies, church, of increase is internal conflict. Yeah, We should say amen, because there lies a big problem. If we have internal conflict with ourselves, there's an enemy of your increase. Pastor, what in the world does that mean? You believe one thing, but you live another. That's what that means, okay? You believe one thing, you live another. God wants your heart, mind, words, faith on the move in the same direction. Everything moving in agreement. Let me give you a perfect example. I'm praying for this thing in my life, whatever that may be. Let me use healing. I'm praying. I know I'm going to get, I'm praying for health and wholeness. But every time I hear someone say that, and then what they say next is, however. Now that is not an agreement. I know God's going to do this for me, but you have just spoken against the very agreement you're praying for. Pastor, how do you know that? Because your mouth reveals what your heart has already agreed to. And I don't care what you're doing. When it's coming out of your mouth different than what you're praying, you're not in agreement. And then we wonder why there's no power or no increase. I've been praying for this. I'm in harmony. I got a symphony of prayer going on. However, I'm worse today than I was yesterday. It's not working. That's because you're not in agreement with yourself. I've known people that were struggling like crazy. But out of their mouth came agreement. Everything that came out of their mouth, and I knew they were hurting, but everything that comes out of their mouth is agreement with heaven. I am going to be touched. I am going to be healed. God's going to deliver me from this situation. I'm not filing bankruptcy next week because God's going to come in like a flood and restore my finances. Whatever the case may be, this is what I'm praying for. And I agree and I'm aligned with heaven that this is going to happen. The words that come out of their mouth tell me if they have agreement inside of them. The external and the internal got to agree, right? And then right in the middle of there is the power that shows up. That's the increase, right? Right in the middle. See, the Bible says in Luke 6:42, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What you speak has power. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power of life and death. You can't speak life if you're living death. And then think that you're in agreement with yourself. Okay? You cannot consistently speak against what you are believing God for in increase. Even though you don't see it, you have to agree that it's coming for the power to show up. They didn't go to the upper room and got on day 9 and said, I'm just out of gas. I can't do it anymore. Did they, Robin? No. The Bible does not say that the 120 of them left because it didn't show up on day 9. Whatever it was, they're praying. They don't even know exactly what they're praying for. They just know something's coming. Would they have prayed day 20? Day 30? Day 50, day 100, I'm going to tell you right now, they would have prayed and stayed in agreement to pray. That's not how we do it sometimes, though. Here's what we do. We say, it's taking too long. I can't wait anymore. You just talked yourself out of agreement with heaven. Okay? Chew on that a little bit. Number 3, agreement with others. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, no, Pastor. I want to talk. I want you to listen. A habit is behavior pattern developed by frequent repetition, right? Okay. Unfortunately, I opened with this. We struggle with the agreement as a habit. Repetitive. Especially when it comes to others. Why? Because we're conditioned to be right before we agree. Ever hear the word, that person's a right fighter? or a right arguer, right? It doesn't matter if there's agreement as long as it's with them, right? Agreement with others. Hold on. Why is it such a hard, difficult thing to have agreement with others? Because we're always about the right thing and not just agreement, right? What is agreement about? What should it be about? First of all, truth, right? Shouldn't it be about truth? Like when the symphony is playing, they know the notes to play. And when one misses the note, they know, right? They know. And some of them know more than others. Now, I got to give my wife and Pastor Christine some kudos here. Talk about gifted. Somebody just sang an F, or they should have sang a G. I don't even know what that means. But it happens, right, Christine? Is F and G notes? Oh, man. See, I'm great at this. F and G are notes, okay? That's all I need to know, right? But if they don't sing them, they're not in agreement, right? But agreement is about truth. It doesn't mean compromising truth. It doesn't mean agreeing with error. It doesn't mean affirming unhealthy thinking. It doesn't mean enabling sin. That's not agreement. Paul never taught us in the Word to ignore biblical truth just to keep peace. Okay, chew on that. Here's the, you think, or we think, that being in agreement is this phrase, you know, I just want peace. You should say, I just want truth. There's the agreement, truth. And as believers, where does truth come from? God's Word. That is truth. So there's no ambiguity about truth because it's in His Word. Right? As believers, we should all agree. And if you don't agree that truth is in God's Word, are you a believer? Because that's God's Word. That's truth. So Paul never taught anything, and we're just using some of Paul's scriptures here, to ignore biblical truth so we just get peace. I just want peace. I don't care what the truth is. I just want peace. You can't sacrifice truth for peace and then be in agreement with heaven. Heaven wants your alignment on truth before peace, because if you're aligned with truth, you have peace. It is the byproduct of alignment with truth. Okay? Hold on. Galatians 1:9, let's go back to Paul writing to the church in Galatia, Turkey, right? Modern day Turkey. Remember, now we've used scriptures in Galatia. We're going to use another one. They're struggling. Again, remember, just give you some context. They're struggling. You know, this Jesus thing is bothering a lot of them. Some false teachers now are coming forward and they're saying, you've got to have some of the old law and Jesus mixed together. If you're going to have some Jesus, you got to have some old law. That wasn't true, right? That wasn't true. They weren't in agreement in that. Paul writes and says, if anyone is preaching to you gospel contrary to the one you received, which he delivered, let him be accursed. That's a pretty tough word, accursed. It means in the Greek, set apart from God's blessing, set apart from God's outpouring, set apart from God's favor, set apart from salvation, because you're not going to be getting saved if you're going to believe the old law when Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only way. You don't need all this old stuff. Now, we study it, and it's still applicable. It's still part of God's Word, and it all points to Jesus, right? The Old Testament points to Jesus. So, and here he is, and Paul is saying, you can't be double-minded. Like, you can't think like this. Right? And if you do, you're going to be accursed. You're not going to have the blessing. You're not going to be in agreement with heaven. You're not going to have alignment with heaven Jesus, you're not going to have that. And there's not going to be an agreement, so therefore there's no power. No blessing, no increase, no divine outpouring. You won't have salvation because you're not truly saved. That's what he's writing about. Okay? It's a pretty tough word. It's kind of like condemning them for their position, which is pretty much what it means. Church agreements never at the expense of biblical truth. Now, Paul affirms this process in Ephesians 4:15. Listen, so that we may no longer be children, this is the church that shows up in Revelation, right? Tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of a doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness, deceitfulness, schemes. Rather, speak in truth, love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, right? He's talking about living together as one body under Christ in agreement. He's talking spiritual maturity, growing. He's talking harmony, a symphony of truth, God's word, in agreement with love, with spiritual growth, and unity, all in agreement. Pastor, I'm going to tell you this in love. I know it's coming, right? But that's okay. I'd rather someone love me and tell me in love than we just don't agree on something and they yell at me, right? It's okay to come to the pastor and say, man, I'm not sure I agree with that. Let's talk. I'm going to share something with you in love. I'm okay with that. I'm in agreement with that, right? Paul teaches us that, folks. Harmony is truth, God's word, in love, with spiritual growth and unity together as a body of believers. That's you and I. See, where agreement is broken, spiritual power begins to weaken. Where agreement is broken, spiritual power begins to weaken. Now, if you walked in tonight, as you did, you should have been given one of our handouts, okay? I give these out each week. Again, they're at the VIP desk. You can get all weeks. They're in the Church Center app. But I want you to take a look at this, and we're going to go through this for a few minutes. Because I want us to be moving towards a habit, a repetitive act of agreement, right? And at the center of agreement is God's truth, God's word, wrapped in love for us to spiritually grow, increase, all unified together in one accord, okay, as a body of believers, right? Where there is agreement, there is power. The scriptures are listed there at the top. It says, remember, what we consistently agree with eventually shapes the direction of our lives. Let's agree as believers that God's word is truth, no matter what it says, okay? Agreement with God, point one. Walking with God requires alignment with his word, his truth, his ways, and his perspective. I put there, check all the following that applies to agreement with God in your life. I am resisting anything God has been speaking to me about. I'm just not in agreement. Check it, if that's you. Is there any area of my life where I need to surrender? If there is, check it. Right? I am trusting God's truth, his word, over my emotions or circumstances. Are you or aren't you? Okay? I am aligning my decisions with God's word. Are you in agreement with that? Okay? Is there any area where I have delayed obedience? God told me to do this, Pastor, but I'm not doing it. Check it. Right? I am seeking God's will or simply asking him to bless my plans. Wow. Are you seeking his will in your life, or you just want the checkbox for, I got this plan, I want him to endorse it? That's not agreement. You know, when us pastors become credentialed, you go through three levels. The first level, the lowest level, is certified. The second level is licensing. The third and highest level, the most difficult one to get to, is ordination. I'm ordained. And when you get to the ordination level, we have to demonstrate to the National Council of the Assemblies of God, that we are called and we are exercising and in agreement with that call, and we're available for it. And that we have a history of that that they can see, like we're pastoring, we're associate pastors, we're missionaries, whatever it may be. We're demonstrating the call. We're moving in agreement with God told us to do something. In other words, they're asking whether we're obedient or not, is what they're asking us. Because you could say, I'm called, but if you're not doing anything in agreement with the call, you're not being obedient. No ordination. No ordination. If you're not in agreement and you're not being obedient to what God's speaking to you, we can't bless that. But if you are, we support you, right? What area of your life needs greater agreement with God? Where in your life? This sheet is a practical sheet for you to look at after you fill it out and say, wow. Be honest with yourself. What scripture or truth is God calling me to align with right now? What is God speaking? Now, agreement with myself, right? Internal agreement matters because double-mindedness creates instability. Evaluate. That is using the chart on the back. We're going to get that to a second. What has been shaping your thoughts, emotions, words by placing a checkmark in the box that most aligns with your agreement with yourself. Turn it over, folks, and at the bottom, it's nice and blue. Thank you, Pastor Christine. She has to wear many hats around here as a pastor. One of them, she is an administrator. And I thank Pastor Christine for doing that because I can't do it. And I'm in agreement that she's a whole lot better than I. So it says agreement within myself chart. Faith, where is my faith tonight? Is it strong, is it average, or is it weak? This is you agreeing with yourself, right? Do I have fears? Are my fears really strong in my life today? Are they average, or are they weak? I'm okay. What about peace in your life? Where is that at? Strong peace? Got lots of peace. I got a lot of peace. I didn't say I wasn't challenged. Okay. I have peace. Anxiety. It's the big one, right? Am I full of anxiety? Is that strong in my life? Average? Weak? What about hope? I got lots of hope. Strong for me, right? What about discouragement in your life? This is being in agreement with you, right? What about confidence? You lack confidence? Doubt. Are you in agreement? You have a lot of doubt. What about gratitude? I appreciate Cross Point Church. We are very gracious. What about negativity? You have that strong in your life? Is it just average? Is it weak? You check those boxes. And then you just step back and look at where all your check marks are. Now you'll know what agreement is going on in your life because God's word addresses every one of these. And now you'll know where to go in God's word to address these specific things that are not in agreement in your life. You're struggling with heaven because God talks about faith. The Bible talks about fear and peace and anxiety and hope and discouragement, confidence, doubt, gratitude, and negativity. The list was longer. I had to cut it back. I didn't want to give you three of these. So I picked some big ones. Check the box. Okay? Flip it around. Agreement with others. Unity creates a spiritual atmosphere. Relationships can either be strengthened or weakened, excuse me, by spiritual alignment. Place a check mark in the box that most aligns with your agreement with others. Pastor, you don't know who these people are in my life. You don't know who they are in my life, right? Is there unresolved offense in your heart? Now there's no agreement with heaven. Because forgiveness is a big thing. 70 times 7, as far as the east is from the west, forgive, right? Okay. Am I contributing to unity or do I contribute to division with others? Am I in agreement that I contribute to unity or division? Am I praying in agreement with others? The first night we had the Wednesday night, I wore the t-shirt that said on the back, "If you need prayer, tap me on the shoulder and I will pray for you." I wear that when I go out in the community. No one has ever tapped me on the shoulder. And I've had this shirt for months. And I wear it. Nobody yet has tapped me on the shoulder. I would agree with them. I'm encouraging faith or spreading discouragement. I am surrounding myself with spiritual, healthy people. Check. Doesn't mean I won't minister to others, but my inner circle has got to be in agreement. Right? Is there a relationship where forgiveness is needed? Church, forgiveness isn't for them. Forgiveness is for you and I. Why? Because forgiveness creates an agreement of alignment with heaven. How do I know that? Because that's what God's word says. You got to extend it regardless of whether you think or agree that they deserve it. Right? There is a tough one. They don't deserve that, Pastor. Flip it around in the back. One relationship where I need a greater unity or healing. It's a question. Name a relationship that you just need greater healing or unity. One way I can intentionally strengthen unity this week. What can I do the rest of this week to be in agreement with some unity that I need to have in my, what can I do? What practical thing do you need to do? I believe if you fill it in, God will answer it. Number four says, this week's alignment response. One lie or unhealthy agreement that you need to reject. You got to reject something. Now, I can see the expressions on many of your faces. I know I'm hitting a nerve, right? A promise from God's word I will stand on this week. I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No matter what it is, no matter what he's asking me to do, I can do all things. It doesn't say some things. It doesn't say a couple things. It says all things. He's God of the impossible. One declaration I will speak daily this week. My declaration that God gave me for this church, for the people that were ill in body, was health and wholeness. I speak that on every prayer now. When somebody asks me or I'm praying over somebody that has a physical or emotional situation they're dealing with, I pray health and wholeness. That's the declaration that I pray, right? One practical step I will take towards greater spiritual alignment. In agreement, you're going to do something. And you're going to commit to it. We are teaching you how to reposition your life to receive heaven's increase in your life. Very practical things. You can take these home and you can throw them in your desk and never look at it again. Therefore, it will never help you. Lord, bring every area of my life into agreement with heaven. Heaven. We have put these in the Church Center app so you would have them all the time. You have a practical tool to leave here tonight and walk in agreement. And when you have some disagreement, you can just grab this piece of paper or open up the Church Center app and read. The scriptures are right at the top. You could start reading about what I got to do. Because those areas of agreement, heaven, God, right? Yourself, and then others. The others can challenge us, right? The other part can challenge you. Now, I'm not saying we're always going to agree with somebody, but at least you can get there right? At least there's a practical roadmap to get you there. I trust that you'll agree. Lord, bring me every area of my life into agreement with heaven. Church, let's just close tonight and let's just pray that prayer that I put on the back of that sheet. Father God, in Jesus' name, Father, I pray tonight that you bring every life in this church, both on-site and online, into agreement with heaven. I pray, Lord God, we're in agreement with heaven that aligns us to have the agreement in ourselves, and that's the precursor to give us this harmony of agreement with others. I pray, Lord God, that the church just figure that out. The pattern of agreement throughout your word has a process to it. I just taught the process, Lord God. And they have to be in agreement with it, receiving it to execute it. Lord God, I pray that they become more agreement with heaven. I pray, Lord God, they're in more agreement with themselves and they speak that agreement through their lips, Lord. That their inside agrees with their outside. Let people see that agreement. And let others see that agreement in us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, we have 2 more weeks. We're going to get even deeper. We'll get to availability on week 6, which is in 2 weeks. It'll be availability, okay? Bless you. I'm so appreciative that you gave us your Wednesday night. As our worship team sings us home, let's just agree that God is in the house and he's moving. God bless you.
For the cross that you bore and the debt that you